how to treat yet-to-be believers. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Treat those who are beginning their faith journey just the same as love and respect that we and care that we have for those who have long walked the spiritual pathways. Jesus' response to those who had a lack of faith was to teach them and to demonstrate faith by helping them and healing them. And that is a sharp contrast with what a lot of times religious people do, isn't it? They call them names and they have words that they use to describe those who have yet to believe in derogatory terms, and they threaten people and they like to hold up, give them a hard time and everything else they can and try to argue and make life miserable for them if they don't believe. And not only if they just don't believe in general, but if they don't believe exactly like what a lot of times they think they should believe. Somebody thinks they should believe the way that way. And that is just exactly the opposite of what we see Jesus doing in the face of unbelief. Here he was with all these people that he had known all his lives. And if anybody he was going to be angry with, it would have been them, but instead he was loving them, and he went around that community and the other communities there around there, and he taught. And that's how he responded to faith, by teaching people and helping them and healing them. And our job is to encourage faith, to include everybody, and we do that sacramentally at the Lord's table as we gather around the table of the Lord, and all are welcome. This is one of our Wesleyan heritages that we share with all those denominations I was telling you about in the World Methodist Council that continued that also, because John Wesley brought that up, that the best place for people that don't know the Lord to meet the Lord is right here at the Lord's table with the Lord's people, with the sacrament of Christ and celebrating Christ's presence and love for us. And Clarita recently, there was an article that several of you saw because I posted it shared it on the Facebook and everything, but it was an article about the Methodists like that, doing that, is how our table is open and how everybody is welcome and how it is not our job to go through the guest list that Christ has sent out and decide which ones to take off the Lord's guest list. Everybody's invited and everybody's welcome. And so that kind of approach is what Jesus had right from the beginning, that everybody was invited into the kingdom. Everybody is welcome into the kingdom. And so we treat each other as members of the family. Everybody is made in the image of God. Christ gave his life for each and every one. And so people might say, well, they need to be warned about all this. Well, they are, but they are missing things. Just think about one of the readings that we had today talk about being carried up into the heavenly realms to see things that have never been seen before. The experiences that we have in our lives that come from knowing Christ and from walking in the Christian pathway and from growing spiritually and all that. That's what people miss out on if they are not engaged in a spiritual life, and so they're missing out on those things already. But our job is not to make it worse for them, but instead to make it better, to open the doors and make it easier, and to encourage people in their faith. Wherever they are in their faith journey, maybe some people haven't even hardly thought about it, and some have thought about it and gone different paths than we would have gone, and others, in all different other kinds of places. But new people are always coming to faith in Christ. They always have been, they always will be, even now. As the psalmist said, we ponder in the message, it's put this way. We pondered your love in action, God, waiting in your temple. Your name, God, evokes a train of hallelujahs wherever it is spoken, near and far. Your arms are heaped with goodness in action. And what a wonderful word of praise that gives us that picture that people all over the world, gradually, one here, one there, another there, all around the world, all of a sudden coming into a personal relationship with God in Christ and having their soul blessed and beginning their spiritual journey. Others moving forward step by step, even in our, even me, even you, and even us, even in our community, and ever all around the world, people moving forward in their relationship with God and learning to praise Him and being blessed by Him and getting to know God and getting to have a relationship. That's what we want. We don't want to chase people off. We want to bring people in, amen? We want people to come together around the Lord until finally that promise of the apostle is completed and fulfilled, where he said, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know, some people even have taken, like to put a harsh twist on that too. You know, like they're going to get beaten into submission, but they're being invited and they're accepting the invitation. And so we just have to trust God with them then. And those that have yet to believe, just trust God with them. The prophet Ezekiel said, God said to Ezekiel, and whether in the today's in the Living Bible, and whether they listen or not, for remember they are rebels, that they will at least know that they have had a prophet among them. And I love that parenthetical statement, for remember they are rebels. You know, and we can remember that a lot of times, all people that are just have a bad attitude about everything and like to condemn people and like to, you know, they reject any kind of science or medicine or anything, you know, and make politics out of everything and cause trouble and everything like that. Well, they are rebels. They have that's the whole idea. They have their mind closed and they don't want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to hear the good news. They don't want to hear about faith and about God and things like that. They have other things that they want. That's the whole idea. So whether they listen or not, because they're probably not going to, but whether they listen or not, at least they'll know by the time that they have had the witness born to them, they will know that a prophet has been there, or somebody who, they might not even call it that, but they'll know somebody has talked to them about the spirituality. They'll know that you have demonstrated love to them. They'll know that you have cared about them and that you have tried to help them in whatever way you could, and they'll know that, and that'll be a part of their whole consciousness for the rest of their lives. So treat them gently. Treat them as you would hope that years later they will remember being treated by you, because they will remember that. Just as we, you know, think about the ways that, you know, people have treated us many years ago. We remember those things, don't we? I didn't know I'd remember. I didn't know I'd remember the things that I've done, you know, and the way that I treated people either, for better or for worse. And so, but we do, and they do too. And so treat people that way. Not cursing people, not calling down balls of fire on them if they don't believe or anything, but loving them and gently leading them, gently moving. And then, and ourselves, gently move on to others and minister our spiritual gifts to others who aren't ready to receive them. And trust God that others will follow where we were, and they will continue in ministry, and eventually it will all just come together for these other people, and they will come to faith. In our Wesleyan tradition, we say that prevenient grace, where God sends us into each other's lives and sends us into different situations, that all adds up and moves people gently along toward justifying grace, where they place their faith in Christ and it all comes together for them and it clicks and they realize and they place their faith in Christ and they are justified and they're saved and they walk with Christ and then they continue in that holy path to sanctification till their love is complete and everything is all done and their life is complete in spirituality. And that's what we're all in that process somewhere. Everybody is those have been walking the path for a long time and those that are just beginning. And so we trust God with that. And remember that at any rate, whatever else happens, they will remember what you said. They will remember how you treated them. And they will think about that. And that will have an effect on their future spiritual growth. And it will be included in how they develop their faith going forward. And they build on those memories. And let God convince people of that. That's what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit would convince people of sin and righteousness and judgment. Let God be the one that convinces them of those things. Our job, even the best salesman, can't just convince somebody of spirituality. I mean, they can, win some arguments and all like that. But Paul wrote, some plant, some water, but God gives the growth. In the reading to the letter to Corinthians from Paul, he wrote, each time he said, no, but I am with you, and that is all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. Now I am glad to boast about how weak I am. I'm glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power instead of showing off my own power and abilities. So it's not us who is, we are not the ones who are able to save anybody. It's Christ who saves. We're not the ones who can convince people of anything. It's the Holy Spirit who does the convincing. Our job is to make the proclamation. Our job is to be the witness, to point the finger to Christ and say, there he is, there he is. Look and receive his love. Ours is to make the introductions and say, here is the church, here are God's people, here is Christ, here is the love. Come on and our job then is to extend that invitation and say, come on and be a part of what we're up to here. Come on and be a part of the kingdom of God. Come on and be a part of the love and friendship. We get to be the conduits of the power and love that is much greater than anything we ourselves could even imagine or be able to do. And so then we watch for the results. And it said in the gospel reading, they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And so, a lot of times we wish we could see these immediate results in other people's lives, but we can't always see that. Sometimes we never are the ones who see that. But the most immediate effect and result that we get to see is the effect on our own lives. It's what is happening in our own lives when we are witnessing, when we are loving, when we are teaching and helping and anointing and, on and on the list goes of these things that Christ invites us to be and to do. When we are loving others as Christ has loved us, then we get the blessing of doing that immediately. We get the blessing of being the hands and feet of Christ. And we have the privilege of extending the love and grace and healing of Christ to every person that we're willing to extend that to. Sometimes we even get to be the one who escorts someone over that line, that thin line from unbelief to belief. But always remembering that many other people have already been helping them along the way, have already been witnessing to them and loving them to that point. And just like that, many of the people that we love and we witness to and we minister our spiritual gifts to, we might not see them make that leap of faith, but somebody else will. And they'll be blessed to escort them across that divide onto the other side. And, that's just the way it works. And so, all together, others have brought them that far just as we have helped others get closer. We can think of John Wesley again and his moment that he wrote about when he felt his heart strangely warm. Just think of a whole lifetime of teaching by his parents and by his school where he was, where he learned the theology and where he taught, and his friends in the Holy Club that they were calling, already kind of derisively calling Methodists because they were so serious about the way they were approaching love and faith. And they came to that, but yet he came to that moment with a little group of people in a side street in London. And in that moment, that's where this faith was ignited into something new and beautiful that moved him further along, and that we and that gave birth to, you know, the feelings we have in our hearts this morning when we think about it. And so so now we walk people across, and other people walk people across, and together we all rejoice with each other throughout the world, throughout the church, throughout the spiritual realm, throughout heaven, and we rejoice in God's unconditional and persistent love. Amen.